The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, there's no doubt in this lockdown period, period of restrictions and so on, sport is the gift that keeps giving. John Duggan from Off the Ball is with us. John, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I think Rachel Blackmore at Aintree, you know, the greatest race for the punter at any rate of the year. What a thrill.
Well, there was a movie that came out in 1944 called National Velvet, Pat, which is a fantasy about Elizabeth Taylor winning the Grand National. And now that is a reality. You have 182 years of the Grand National, first run in 1839, and Rachel Blackmore breaking that ceiling to a degree that I don't think we even need to talk about it anymore. But it is history making. It is CNN news. It is Euro news. It is front page, back page news. And like, there are very few other sports where you have men and women competing against each other. So in football, soccer, in rugby, in golf, in GAA, they all have their own individual brackets. So that's why what Rachel has done is so groundbreaking. That she very nicely said afterwards, she didn't feel like a female or a male. She didn't even feel like a human after winning on Manila Times. And it also really kind of struck home for me, Pat, how dominant Irish racing is at the moment. You had 10 of the first 11 horses home were Irish trained. The first five, Henry de Bromhead in County Waterford trained the winner, and he had the second as well. And Rachel Blackmore rode six winners at Cheltenham. She rode the champion hurdle winner, and now she's ridden the race, I think, that penetrates the masses more than any other, the Aintree Grand National. It's just a fantastic story. And also, as well, I'd say that it wasn't easy for her. She rode her first winner a decade ago. She only turned professional in 2015. It took her 6 months to ride her first winner as a professional. And it's been a long road for her. So this is not an overnight success. And I think that she really has been a brilliant jockey. Just even the way she rode the race with quiet style, with confidence, and she's just at the top of her game. It's an amazing story.
Yeah, and the race was just a fabulous race as well. One horse had to be put down a long mile, and that seemingly didn't happen over the jumps. It was some mishap that the horse had on the flat between fences. And in fact, the number of fatalities has gone down dramatically. They've made the race safer by maybe looking at Beecher's Brook. I mean, it just kind of falls apart when they jump over it now. It's not the hazard it used to be, certainly when I was growing up. Looking at the rugby then, Leinster, another fairy story, really. Exeter, probably the favourites going in and justifying that going 14 points up. And then?
Well, there's a few things about this. Leinster had that bye, remember, against Toulon. So they came in a little bit probably rusty. And they were two tries down, as you say, Tom O'Flaherty got a couple of tries. But when you think, if you took the two tries out of it, Pat, they won the game 34 points to 8. So the final score was 34-22. But if you take the rust out of it, and the fact that Ross Byrne came on for Johnny Sexton, who went off and had such a brilliant game, and Leinster began to dominate in every aspect of the play through the set piece, but also through their attack, and Jordan Larmer getting a couple of tries, Hugo Keenan influential in both of them, James Lowe getting a try as well. And it's funny now that they play, it's, you all these trademarks, Pat. You got Stephen Gerrard's Rangers until he met his end. You had Frank Lampard's Chelsea. You now have Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle. And Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle will play Leo Cullen's Leinster in the semi-finals of the European Cup. Leinster going for that fifth star. They've a lot of resilience, Pat. And I know they got caught by Saracens last season, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a Leinster Toulouse final, and that would be something else, even if there's no crowds.
It certainly would be. And that's the question of lockdown in France and travel restrictions and so on, which would affect the women's game as well, because they had a stunning victory over Wales.
Yeah, and once again, we came in with a bit of rust. We hadn't played in 6 months. Wales had played the week before. But Davin Parsons, you can tell, is going to be a star, if not already. And that was a great, like, so we'll know later on today if that match is going to happen, if there's an exemption for quarantine rules for the French to come in. And it's a strange situation, Pat, in that you have two pools. So if Ireland beat France, then they're effectively into the final of the Six Nations, probably against England. It's a hard one for the girls, because in England and France, they're getting contracts. They're getting professional contracts, whereas it's still an elite amateur sport. But hopefully actually having the tournament separate to the men's tournament will give it a bit of a bigger profile.
Yeah. Turning to the Premier League and an astonishing result. Leeds taking the points against Man City. I didn't see the match and I know Leeds were down to 10 men, which makes it all the more remarkable. What happened to City?
Well, I think they had one eye on Dortmund in the Champions League this week, Pat. So they did rest a lot of their players. De Bruyne, Diaz, Gundogan, Foden didn't start the game. I'm not trying in any way take away from Leeds' victory, but there are a little bit of mitigating circumstances. But the fact that Leeds had only 10 men for half the game when Leon Cooper was sent off, and then to score that winning goal through Stuart Dallas late on, just shows how united they've been under Bielsa. They're eccentric but fantastic manager, and it was a good win for Leeds on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Manchester United, and again VAR in the frame, and it seemed to incense the panellists that VAR had ruled out what looked like a perfectly good goal.
That was for Man United early in the, the game. Yeah, it was Cavani's goal was eventually ruled out because Son went down easily under a challenge from McTominay. VAR is making football boring, in my mind, Pat. I don't remember football being broken before VAR came in. You've taken away the flow, the instant celebration. I don't know how the fans will be reacting if they're back in the stadiums, because it's become ridiculous. These geometry kits taking minutes to decide on whether it's offside or not. I would prefer life to be grey. You have your Maradona, you have your Henri moments over decades in football, but like, what's harm is a bit of controversy. And there is this 1984 George Orwell style way now of being right to the nth degree rather than actually having life being lived and having the flow and having decisions going your way and not going your way. It's getting a bit ridiculous now. It's out of control, especially in the Premier League. VAR is out of control. It's making it boring and it's turning it into rugby. If I want to watch rugby and get the TMO and wait for a few minutes, I can do that. But it's a completely different game in terms of flow. It's not an enjoyable experience. Having said that, Mourinho can talk about it as much as he wants, but Spurs deserve to lose because they're all over the shop and United won 3-1. Worth talking about the golf as well, Pat, because that was quite...
Yeah, I was going to come to that. Because, I mean, it was a historic win again when you have a Japanese player taking the green jacket home to Asia a first time. I went to bed before the end of it, so I'm not sure. Was it exciting or was it dull at the end?
It was quite dull for a long time. And then Hideki Matsuyama, who won the Masters, put the ball in the water on 15. So he kind of tried to spice it up first. But then his playing partner then put the ball in the water, Schofield on 16. So from that point onwards, it was quite a procession for Hideki Matsuyama, the first Japanese player to win the Masters. Absolutely massive over there. There's not that many international global superstars from Japan in sport. You could think of Naomi Osaka in tennis, but not that many. But golf is very popular over there and probably will get even more popular. Baseball is the biggest sport in Japan. But I was going through like the winners since the turn of the millennium. Golf is really truly global, Pat. You've got Australia, Japan, Fiji, Argentina, South Africa, Canada, England, the United States, Spain, and a deserved win for a player who's 29 years of age. 10 years ago, he was playing at the Masters as an amateur, and he's won a lot of big tournaments. And Hideki Matsuyama, who hasn't won in 4 years, kind of got the job done. Shane Lowry finished his best ever Masters, tied 21st. But Rory McIlroy is really out of sorts at the moment. He missed the cut.
Yeah. So he's got to have to reinvent something in his game. John, thank you very much for that review of yet another very exciting weekend in sport. As I say, it's the gift that keeps giving.